Engage.
Okay, folks, so the one shot that turned into a two shot thanks to a power outage in north of Indianapolis is now turned into a three shot. So we're still trying to get this one shot con game down, which is a reason why I should probably never run con games, because I can't keep anything to a reasonable time frame. However, in the intervening time, Jeff has captained an excellent ending, I think. Jeff, would you like to inform the listening audience of your plan?
Okay, so Truckee, his background is being a smoke jumper. He was a smoke jumper in Yellowstone Park. For anybody that doesn't know what a smoke jumper is, it's a firefighter who gets dropped behind the lines of a forest fire and fights from within. So at this point, Truckee is going to find one of his former co-workers, who was one of the helicopter pilots that dropped, or the helicopter plane or airplane pilot or whatever that he could find, who is out of work, needs a job, and is going to help us steal a helicopter.
I mean, does he actually, what could he potentially know somebody in the area? Do we have to steal the helicopter?
Yes, we have to steal the fucking helicopter.
Okay, fine.
Isn't it just as easy to hire out a tour?
No. Professional tour is going to allow people to get in it with parachutes, Lucas.
Yeah. You bribe somebody well enough.
No.
Jeez. To continue to fill in the audience, you haven't yet told them about the terrorist vest, Lucas, which I think is also going to be an aspect that the tour would not be happy with.
So if you recall the previous episode, we kind of learned a little bit of what hurt this thing. So the idea is the EMP terrorist vest. We'll see how that goes.
Can you explain it?
Dead man switch. Once you let go of the button, it should go poof and hopefully either...
It should turn on all these giant lithium batteries that we've strapped to this vest.
It should do a thing. Here's the kicker. It's guaranteed that Schroeder's got to make a really good fucking roll to make this thing work. So
not
good
if
luck,
you didn't
buddy.
Say anything about it, but thank you.
Also, Grady was gonna just let you make it.
Yeah, he might have.
He let me find a pilot.
So the plan is that one or two parachutists are gonna jump out of a helicopter above the skyline of Chicago and hopefully have a functioning dead man switch EMP devices in both a suicide-style vest and or have a non-dead man switch EMP gun to help the other, if there are two, fight off the creature if they're unable to dead man switch it for some odd reason.
Fucking genius.
So we definitely spent a whole lot of time, and we're going to make sure we're at high enough altitude to maybe help each other if we can.
I'm just going to film it.
And as per usual, Mr. Patterson will set out.
I'm there. I'm watching.
I'm also going to have handcuffs on each wrist so that I can try and latch on to whatever comes at me.
It's corporeal. Incorporeal.
Incorporeal. Yeah, which is not going to be easy.
It got more solid when the magnets hit it, didn't it?
It was the opposite.
Oh, it was the
actually,
opposite.
I'm not sure whether or not that was completely discerned. It hurt it, or at least annoyed the shit out of it.
I was getting the shit beat out of me by it. So what it happened?
It got more translucent as those devices passed through it. it released.
Grady, what happened to me?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. What you saw. It's...
God damn you.
Make an idea roll? Come on, give him something.
I mean, it's just the way that it is. Do we have, not that it's going to be super important, but Schroeder, you shared your character sheet with me, didn't you? Yeah, there it is. Okay, I see him in here. Just on the off chance this becomes important.
What? What? Oh, that. Where? What my parachute level is?
I'm reopening all your character sheets, just for notes.
It's gonna be important.
Just in case. Yeah. Excellent. I cannot wait for this plan. So this is the plan, yes?
It's the only plan we've got.
It's as good as a plan as I've been able to come up with. Yes.
Hey, we're going out with a bang, just like dead cold, dead hand.
This may or may not be a very short episode. I don't know.
I could be going out with a splat.
Jeff, make me a D100 roll.
That is 56.
Okay.
Just to start this whole plan off.
Schroeder.
Yep.
Make me a D100 roll.
Okay. That's an odd 9.
Okay. Cool. All right. You have found a pilot. It's someone, Jeff, that you know. It's not like someone you know from Yellowstone necessarily. It's kind of friend of a friend, but it's somebody that you have been around before. It's someone you have personal connection with, willing to take you up. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
No questions asked.
So that's what you're saying. No questions asked.
Yep.
So I got a log. We'll call him Smitty. Smitty seems like a good pilot name.
I like Shmi.
Shmi. So Smitty's like, what?
Smitty... No, the sand people killed her.
Smitty's like, so what? Where am I going?
Basically, I need a flight just plan. I need you to fly through Chicago at X, around X altitude, at least above beyond here.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you start giving
let's it. Let's say over Grant Park, roughly over Grant Park, so we have a landing zone.
I would advise you're probably going to have people parachuting. Because he's got to know how he needs to fly.
It's true.
Just tell him to fly in west to east over Grant Park, out over Lake Michigan, and back to a helipad.
Yeah, no, he can make that work. It's going to cost you extra, and that thing that he owes you, Truckee, we're going to be even now. Yep. But he's going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. You get the sense he's not super excited about the whole parachute thing, but it sounds like he's going to do like a nighttime touristy helicopter tour kind of thing. And so mm-hmm. his flight plan is to kind of weave back and forth at X appropriate height, which considering the buildings are there, I'm going to imagine is pretty high up. They don't
There's
exactly
no less than 3,000 feet, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm not a flying person, but I bet he's gonna be up there. Schroeder, you prepare the vests?
I did. Was my outline, maybe? I don't know.
Oh no.
How do they work?
I'm
lack of research says they work how I hope they will.
Hey,
and
I will take narrative control if we need to. That's great. You tell me how they
work. Yeah, no. So, essentially, batteries are off while holding the button, right? When the batteries when the dead man switch is let off, what it does is it creates the current that actually forces the EMP.
Okay. I don't think batteries closed system quite work like that, but I gotcha.
It's not so much a pulse. We want the field to stay active.
Right.
Right. It's going to be a current thing. So essentially, what happens is when you let go, the mechanism that blocks the batteries from connecting with where it needs to go come out.
Right.
I mean, whatever that block is.
It's a dead man switch. Jeff is using the accurate term. So right at the moment, the circuit is not complete. Jeff is strapped with lithium ion batteries. I like to imagine that you just pulled them out of all of your like drills.
I actually plan to go
saws.
Too. So yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, we talked about this last time. You can go and buy gigantic freaking batteries.
Yeah, but that's not nearly as cool, Jeff.
Oh, you can go buy gigantic EMP
seriously
devices.
Cool.
It's also going to add a lot of
cool
weight to you as you fall. If you buy giant batteries.
I mean, Truckee is probably dropping a letter to his mom in the mail before he does this, not expecting to come back.
I can't imagine any of us over 250, and majority of parachutes are weight gained for significantly more than that. I mean, the majority of them, you've got tandem people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not concerned about that aspect. Weight's not going to be an issue.
Okay. So you've done your contribution. Mr. Magpie Lucas Patterson, is there anything you'd like to do?
I'm literally in the chopper. I'll probably have a parachute on, you know, just
he's
in case.
He's posting to social media about this new awesome f***ing video he's putting out tonight.
I don't have a phone. My phone's dead. I legit am just using the camcorder to try to film as much as I can for this drop. That's all I'm there for. And if we go down for some reason, I got a parachute to save my ass.
Excellent. Okay. So it sounds like...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the analog thing. I will take... what are they? Polaroids. I'll take a Polaroid with me. And I'll just start
taking
pictures.
Good luck catching
pictures.
The Polaroids as
oh,
they
oh,
fall.
Oh, no. That's the thing. I'm going to be an asshole to somebody else and make them make the sand check. The Polaroid pictures are just going to fly off as I'm falling. And somebody on the ground is going to find this shit.
I'm also going back and making sure that everything in the... vests and the EMP gun that I purchased is all analog based.
Random question.
There's no digital aspect to it.
Random question. Last episode, we decided to put all of our analog information, photos, video, online. Has anyone responded to any of that with any information?
Make me a luck roll.
Oh, my luck's better. You should ask me to do it.
34 out of 55.
Hey, there we go.
Most of the people responding thinks it is a hoax, but it's pretty good for a low-budget film.
Okay.
Blair Witch.
100%. Yeah. The ones who are commenting nicely on your horror film are comparing it to, like, a Blair Witch situation. Or, what is that movie? VHS, where they're all supposed to be, like, tapes, old horror tapes, even though it's a modern film. I think it's VHS. So you're getting on a helicopter.
We're going to get on a helicopter.
Is Smitty all good with this?
He's not happy
about it,
but you're square.
We're square now. Okay.
All right. Can't wait. This is excellent. Lucas, are you doing anything in particular? Or are you just getting on a helicopter with a camera?
No, I'm getting on a helicopter with a camera and a parachute to specify in case something bad happens.
All right. Make a D100 roll.
For what?
Yeah. Make me a D100 roll. I made everyone else make a D100 roll. It's only fair.
Ought 4.
All right. Cool.
It's amazing.
That was a lie.
Everybody rolls really well.
Hey, that was a legit.
It's the first aught that I've rolled in a very long time.
All right,
it's because you've been playing D&D.
It's no fun lying.
I just
if anybody lies in the games, it's not.
I just
not
played
fun.
Call of Cthulhu like 2 days ago as a GM.
No proof, doesn't count.
Well, that game will come out eventually.
You hop into Smitty's helicopter. Lucas,
yes.
Magpie is in the front, so you're sitting in the co-pilot seat. Two of you are in the back. It does have kind of the bay door opening, you know what I mean? But there's still only room for 2, maybe 3 passengers back there. And considering you are strapped with some sort of vest... You're both strapped with vests and parachutes, apparently, which you probably brought in duffel bags to try not to be too conspicuous, which as Smitty starts to take off is somewhat disconcerted, but doesn't say anything because you've paid him well. He sets off into the sky, the cool. Night sky over Chicago.
How fast does the headache set in?
pretty fucking significantly, because it doesn't take that long for a helicopter to get to altitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he starts just kind of tooling around very slowly. Anything that you all would like to do?
Just going over procedure with what we have.
Okay.
You know, prepping. Obviously, we don't want to fucking let go of the EMPs inside the fucking helicopter, right?
Right.
So, you know, making sure we're doing what we need to do, making sure we know roughly where our jump is going to be and have a planned, you know, all right, we're jumping once, because we're going to want to jump almost along the skyline to have the trajectory into the park or into Lake Michigan.
Sure. Perfect.
Because I picked a park right along the road that leads straight to Lake Michigan.
So no, you're good.
If we overshoot, we're going in the water.
So as you go up, you can hear the wind inside the helicopter. You can feel it rattle the helicopter back and forth as it spins around. You know, you kind of feel that lovely sway if you've ever been in a helicopter before, or how it kind of feels like you're on a.
Nope.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. It's so cool. It's like...
It's something I've always wanted to do, but no, not had the opportunity.
We took a couple helicopter rides when I was a kid. Like, it's like being on a gondola at high speeds. Like, you know how a gondola kind of just shifts back and forth and you're only anchored, like, from the top? You've got kind of this pivot. It's like your whole ass just swings as you're flying. It's a lot of fun. I actually sat up front. You begin to feel kind of a weird pain in your head, obviously. It seems to hurt more the more you go up. POW rolls, everybody.
As we're making POW rolls, I want to verify that we do have backups.
What do you mean by backups?
What?
Parachutes.
Ought three.
Bullshit.
All right, I'm going to take the picture. Hey, you see my hands? Hands? Phone?
I don't care what you rolled.
My phone's on the floor.
He's apparently taking...
I rolled it.
I don't want to see you, dick.
Zoom in, because they're shitty dice. It's an ought two.
So, Jeff, would you like to roll an ought one?
No, it's a 45 out of 65.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's in the Facebook chat, gentlemen. It's there.
I don't want to see your dick.
It's not my dick. My dick isn't that big.
He's got his dick laying between the two dice. The D10 is to the right, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but whatever.
It's not quite a fat knuckle. It's just a knuckle.
I said it wasn't that big, guys. Come on.
So you all begin to feel this sort of ringing in your head. And then it feels like in the movies when you're watching the sniper zoom in on somebody and that red dot sight hits them right in the forehead. You feel all that pain and ringing in your head just come right to a point right in the center of right between the eyes. And you feel it kind of flare.
So I would automatically look to the pilot. Does he react in any way?
I would automatically be looking out the sides and everywhere I can to see if something is coming.
Okay. Lucas, your reaction?
I am keeping the camera on my colleagues.
Okay. Schroeder?
I just want to know if we have to jump faster than we anticipate, yeah.
Schroeder, you see nothing in terms of the pilot. I mean, obviously you're staring at the back of his head, but he doesn't look around. The three of you all kind of like lock eyes like it's here.
There's no like involuntary movement in the helicopter.
No, not that you can feel.
Okay.
I don't know how often Fiverr would have been in a helicopter, but it doesn't jerk or anything. You know, you don't get thrown to the side.
I just know how I reacted. Didn't know how he would react.
Jeff, make me a spot hidden.
It's a 38 out of 65.
You don't see anything. Let me check one thing. Give me just a second here.
While you're doing that, how lit is the sky?
I mean,
oh,
it's hard because you're flying above the buildings. I'm going to assume that it's not like a full moon or anything. And even if you are, as the helicopter moves, it's not like it's going to light you up well.
Are you kidding me? In the sky over Chicago?
You're over Chicago.
I mean, we don't have a spotlight on us. We're talking about light pollution. What I'm asking about is, what do we remember what color this thing was before it became translucent?
Well, that's a great question. You probably all have differing opinions of what it looked like. It was hard to say before it hit. Sure.
Nope. 83. Wait, hold on. What's my idea? No. Nope, I failed.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Lucas, can you make me sand roll?
Yes. It's the standard pass.
I'm going to go ahead and call it one of... I didn't get any of my dice out. I probably should have. It's okay. I can do this and divide. We're going to call it 4 as... So, Lucas, you're filming these guys in the back, right? So you're, like, sat in the seat, kind of looking back towards them. And that lovely 3 that you lied about earlier, Rolling, out of the corner of your eye, you see something move. Because underneath their feet, there's this nice little plate of glass so they can look down and see where they're landing the helicopter. And you see the thing below the helicopter right before it phases through the helicopter and begins to reach for the occupants, at which point the helicopter begins to shake violently and noises start happening as you hear Smitty yell, "Oh, fuck.
Go, 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 go."
So we'll go into Dex order now.
Shit.
And let's have everybody make a Dex roll.
27 out of 65.
Okay.
56 out of 75.
Okay.
That is a 40 out of 80, so half.
None of you are thrown violently as Smitty fights the controls. Things are smoking in between, like, controls are now smoking. Because, you know, magnets.
Go and go, you're even.
Magnets, how do they work, guys? It's unfortunate.
Fucking magnets, how do they work?
Everybody roll me a luck.
Fail.
Hold your numbers, too.
It's a 47 out of 65.
Okay.
Ought 9.
Okay. Lucas, how many points did you fail by?
A lot. 92 out of 55.
Excellent.
It's not an epic fail, though, because it's just 92
it is now.
Above. Yeah.
It is when you fail the worst of everybody.
I suppose that's fair.
Yikes.
What is that number? I need to look that up again. Okay, Lucas, the thing that has phased through the floor and is now occupying the space in the center console between you and Smitty has kind of a choice. And the choice is you.
Neat.
And you all see this thing wrap around Lucas, and Lucas now begins screaming and thrashing in the front seat.
Fucking magnet!
You realize if we blow these inside the chopper, we're all fucked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lucas, it's your turn.
It's a good thing we're all wearing parachutes.
They don't matter in a helicopter, Lucas.
Gotta roll, tuck and roll. Tuck and roll, motherfucker, tuck and roll.
I should note at this point that the helicopter is swerving violently, smoking. I don't know if they actually have, like, alarm warnings, but if this were a movie, it'd be going like,
What do you need me to do?
It's your turn. It's Dex order. It goes before you. You go next. You're Dex 80.
Oh, fuck.
This thing is inside your chest.
What do I need to roll to, like... jump out of this thing's grasp?
You're strapped into a helicopter.
Did you forget the last fight there, bro? What?
You're strapped into the co-pilot's chair.
Oh, right.
And you're holding a camera.
F*** the camera. I mean...
I'd probably drop the camera at this point.
What would you like to do, Lucas?
I want to try to escape. So what do I need to roll to try to escape?
What is your plan of escape? How are you going to escape? Are you trying to bail out of the helicopter?
Jump into the back of the helicopter?
You're going to try and
move...
Well,
I actually could do that. If that's an option, I would try to bail out so I can... You know, release my parachute and glide out of here. Is that a dex check? Is that a strength check?
Yeah, let's make it a strength and see how you do.
That is just a pass, just barely a pass.
Okay, so you begin thrashing around, okay? The helicopter is swinging violently, which, like I said, being in the co-pilot's seat, there are pedals, there are levers that he's moving to try and keep things flying, which Smitty is swinging about frantically at this point, swearing as much as conceivably possible. You are able to, with this thing sort of inside your chest, being one with you, you feel the hot pain in your back from these like talon wraparound bat horn things.
Gross.
You are able to get loose. You okay. Are the straps have come off. So you are now free inside the cockpit. But that's about as far as you can get in the time that it takes, because like I said, you are swinging around violently at this point. Who's next? Fiverr is next.
So from an my knowledge of electronics, would I know if I fire just the EMP gun that I talked about having, would it just fuck the chopper?
Not that you have a lot of time to think about it. You question how well the chopper is currently functioning in the first place.
Like, the vest is not an EMP blast, right? It's just like it's an electromagnetic.
No, it's a sustained current, right? So right. That wouldn't fuck the
chopper so much, right?
Are you?
I mean, it would kind of like slam you into the side of the chopper and hold you there.
Yeah. How does that not, Lucas? Lucas. It's a sustained electromagnetic pulse that any electronics within the fucking chopper would just be dead. What?
I've kept drinking every time I've dropped my internet, so it's just getting worse.
It was god awful when it comes to, you know, science in general. But so does the pilot have a parachute?
No. At this point you literally have a split second to make decision, so I just go
with firing the EMP over the top, because I'm assuming I'm sitting behind Lucas and I'm pulling the door back to jump.
All right. Let's see. Let's start with the gunfire. Let's see what that happens.
It's just a burst of pulse. It's not an actual gunfire. Like, it's not like I'm aiming to shoot. It's like I'm firing an EMP and jumping.
Sure. I mean, I get it. But I'm going to use a firearm skill, because right now up is down and left is right as you're swinging around in a helicopter. That's
I'm okay with that.
Crossing.
It's firearm handguns, yes?
I give you firearm handgun.
Yes, sir. I'm glad I took that. That is a 14 out of 50.
Okay. You see the thing kind of like move around and thrash as part of being attached to Lucas. Like, it sort of like the same thing that happened to Jeff, but more violently. It definitely doesn't like whatever you did.
Okay.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Your turn.
You're even just pull your dead man and let's go. He thought about it for a second.
Give this thing a big hug.
Oh no, I did.
Give this thing a big hug and jump out of the fucking chopper, will you?
We have to get to the front. Have you seen the inside of a helicopter ever?
I've never been in one, neither have you. So what the fuck do you know?
No, but I've seen the inside of one.
Yeah, I've just never flown in one.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, Jeff?
Is the thing still twitching? Is it?
Yes, at this point
back?
It is still attached to Lucas. It's not its action, so it hasn't done anything, but it is kind of, you know.
No, I thought I got loose.
You got loose from your seatbelt. This thing is phasing into the same like essence.
Gotcha. I'm grabbing Lucas and I'm throwing him out the door that Schroeder just opened.
Okay, let's. I don't want to rules lawyer this, but that's not possible.
What? Why?
Because we're in the back. You're going to be able to grab him out of the front seat, but think of it as a car. You're going to grab him out of the front seat over the center dash and throw him out of the vehicle out the side. Let's think we're in a minivan.
You better off trying to throw me out the side door that I'm sitting next to, but you're going to have to get it open.
Yeah, I don't know what would be my options for yanking him away from the monster.
I'd say make a strength roll.
Okay.
I'm doing this for Grady, I'm sorry.
41 out of 75.
Okay. With that good of a roll, I'm going to say somehow you reach in and grab Lucas by the shoulder straps of his parachute or whatever, and you somehow pull him in, probably with a random foot, kicking Smitty in the face as you yank his ass from the front seat into the back. Much like a lamprey or some sort of leech or tick, the thing just kind of comes with Lucas when you pull him back. So all four of you are in the back seat now.
Okay. Is that the end of my turn?
What else would you like to attempt to do?
If I'm already holding on to Lucas and the thing is still attached, I'm going out the door.
With us in tow?
You can just pull and in one motion fall out the door?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think your roll was that good. It was good.
Okay.
I don't think it was quite that good. I like having you all in the back seat because I really want to get to Smitty's roll because there are roles for pilot.
Yeah.
And they're specific.
That's fine. We're in the back and that's as far as I can get. Cool.
Because I want this to happen next.
Your door also wasn't open.
Yeah, and opening a thing as a helicopter is going down is not going to be an easy thing. It's not like you're descending easily. You're swinging all over the fuck.
I got mine open, right?
What?
Yeah, I thought Schroeder already dove out one.
No.
And a door was open.
No, I said I shot him and opened the door is what I said.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're fucking with the handle. I don't know that the door is open yet. We'll get to that point. Okay. Because you are swinging all over the place. Smitty's next roll, which was an 85, was so poor that now that you're getting low at a very rapid pace, because a round's like 10 seconds, right?
Hey, let's have this conversation before you get too crazy here, all right? Depending on the way the helicopter is rotating, whoever opens the door, centrifugal force will open that door. All you gotta do is pop the latch.
I understand what you're saying. We'll deal with that.
How about a luck roll to see if we're going the right way?
After the Smitty's pilot roll,
which
was 85, which means now I have this lovely D6, which means you all suffer 3 points of damage as you smash into the side of the Sears Tower.
Ooh.
It's more of a scrape job.
So how tall? Wait. Hold on. How long is one round in this game?
Like 10 seconds.
That 10 seconds is a round? Okay. And then we established, how tall is the Sears Tower?
I don't remember in the scenario.
Let's find out. We're gonna do this thing. You're not going to bullshit us here. How tall is the Sears Tower?
Under the section.
I know we said 3,000
under the section,
feet.
Take to the skies. Under Call of Cthulhu rules, he writes, quite eloquently, it's all about the pilot. When the thing first slams into the aircraft, call for a straight pilot roll. If it fails, they are crashing. Either way, the next roll is taken at a minus 10 penalty. And if they're already crashing, they then begin to smash into buildings. It's essentially what he goes on to say.
But we weren't already crashing.
Oh, you absolutely were.
Yeah, we were. Mm-hmm. Because he failed the first roll.
He did fail the first roll.
Oh, there was a roll before that one?
Yeah. Smitty was already failing. When it phased through, it came up through the console, melted the console when it screwed with magnetic stuff.
Gotcha.
So
Smitty's kind of a drunk.
Jeff rolled well enough to know the pilot, not well enough to know a great pilot.
Okay.
His pilot role was...
Nobody ever said a good one. I mean...
All right, so we all lost 3 HP?
Yeah.
I just wasn't getting... I just wasn't going to get taken by Grody on that. That's all I'm saying.
No.
I was going to actually, like, real physics lawyer my way out of that if I could.
Smitty, like I said, now we are kind of getting the centripetal force thing, because now we've kind of smashed into something. Rapid descent, swinging all over the place, clip an aerial something. And now we are getting ready to crash very, very quickly.
I was already reaching for the door.
Yep. You were reaching for the door. The thought is to get the hell out of this spinning death trap, and I do not blame you. Yeah, you probably... That's probably enough, I think. So Lucas has been pulled into the seat, and I'm going to assume that he's kind of like the third child. He's in the middle of the two of you right now, because depending on how Jeff reached and pulled, that's probably the most room. Schroeder, in a very horror movie style, Fiver sees this thing swivel inside Lucas's body and reach for you. And as it reaches for you, the helicopter shifts and, like, its hands phase in a place that's not you.
Okay.
Lucas, it's your turn.
What do I have to do? Do you guys both wearing vests? Is that the case?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do I... If I'm in the middle...
Oh, I didn't Schroeder's think about that. Both of you make me luck rolls.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, I had a...
19.
49 out of 65.
Okay. You're still holding on to the dead man switches.
Okay. What do I have to do to grab Schroeder's character and push both of us, all three of us technically, out the door?
There is no door open, Lucas.
I thought you said you opened the door.
No.
He was trying to. Grady said he couldn't.
Yeah.
All right. I will reach for... I'll reach for Jeff's door and try to open it.
Okay. Give me a dex roll.
That is right on the money.
Okay. Now make me a luck roll.
Success. Just barely, but it's a success.
What are your rolls, Lucas? Give us numbers.
Sorry, that was a 52 out of 55. For the luck roll. It was an 80 on 80 for the dex.
So, Lucas, you are able to pop the door. The thing is spinning, but it is spinning in such a way that the door flings open in a nice way. So there is a pathway out.
Perfect.
I'm going to say that's probably about all that you're able to do, but there is a pathway out.
Probably accurate. Probably accurate. Am I taking damage?
That's a great question.
You already took 3 damage.
He took 3 sand.
I mean, I imagine that's on his turn, the creature's turn, but I don't know.
Oh, 3 damage from the helicopter. Yes, you're right.
Okay, we all took damage from the helicopter, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
but this thing's wrapped around me, so I don't know if I'm taking damage or not.
You are not.
I didn't.
You are not.
Okay.
You didn't take damage, Jeff?
No. Not well. Why? The last time when this thing had a hold of me.
Oh, gotcha. I was going to say, gotcha. We all just took damage from the helicopter hitting the Sears Tower.
Correct.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Door's open. Jeff's side.
Schroeder, it is your go.
I'm releasing the dead man and diving to the open door.
Okay. I guess we don't really have to worry about the helicopter so much now when the dead man goes off. That
Not
thing
at all.
Does shudder like a motherfucker. Make me a good dex roll.
48 out of 75.
That is a good dex roll. You are able to release the dead man switch. There is a pop as you all hear like a kind of a hum as the batteries do whatever they do, whatever Doc Brown bullshit vest that Schroeder made. The thing screeches and you go tumbling out of the helicopter with a good enough dex roll that you don't get caught up in any of the blades or building or glass or metal. So you are now in free fall. Jeff.
Yes.
It is your go.
Okay.
The ground is coming up pretty quickly.
Right. I'm still holding on to Lucas.
Okay.
The thing is still attached to him. I want to dive.
Not if we all went
dive
out the door.
Okay. So you go.
No, Schroeder dove past us out the door.
Oh, I'm sorry. I assumed that you took us with you. My bad.
Jeff, make me a strength roll. Lucas, make me a luck roll.
Ought 8 on the strength.
Perfect.
It's a 20 out of 55 for luck roll.
Okay. You both manage to get ripped out. Truckee pulls you out like picking up a child. No problem. You both exit somehow without getting caught up in the shrapnel or the rotating blades, which is really unfortunate. I really wanted to dice one of you motherfuckers up. Let's find out the fate of poor Smitty.
He did.
Let's take a look at this.
You were even. You were even. Yep. Don't let that haunt you.
Where is that section? Okay.
I'm assuming as soon as you hit a building, the tail rotor's gone. He has no control. He's done.
Yes, he is. At this point, he's deciding where he wants to smash it into the ground.
I like how we didn't warn him to bring a parachute. Oh god.
Okay.
I mean, he knew everybody else was going to be diving out.
Smitty rolled.
It's his fault for not reading between the lines.
He just didn't know why. Oh,
because Smitty is the hero. All right. Smitty just rolled a 3. Okay. So somehow, with a fucked up tail rotor.
Implement us. Yeah.
Somehow. Oh, no. Smitty's fucking dead. Like, Smitty's been dead for the last 2 rolls. Like, his fate was sealed before.
He's just not killing other people.
Smitty is somehow able to get the helicopter adjusted just enough to, like, smash it into a parking garage to hit something. He doesn't hit the street. He doesn't take out an apartment building.
He's hitting the beam in Grant Park.
Yep.
He just saw shiny and aimed at it.
Lucas, it's your turn. What do you want to do?
Am I still in the helicopter?
No, God no.
No.
Jeff,
I'm holding
on
to you, and we're in free fall.
Then I'm going to pull my cord to parachute down. As long as I know God I'm out of range.
Damn it.
You just fucked yourself, bro. But go ahead. Pull that.
Yeah. How?
You go. No. You did it. You already did it. Just.
Yep. You're good. Go ahead.
Roll me a parachute, Lucas.
Physics.
Do I get a strength roll to hold on?
There's no way. No possible way. Get out of here.
I'm going to spend 8 luck to succeed in that parachute.
It's a combat roll. You don't get to spend luck.
Well, that's not what I heard. You said roll a parachute roll.
You're in combat. You're in combat. Yeah.
Well, then I failed my parachute roll, sir.
Excellent.
It saved your life, probably.
Excellent. Schroeder is probably farther down, so he doesn't see this necessarily, probably. Maybe. Depends, I guess, on how we're falling.
I'm okay with not making that sand roll.
Truckee, you see Magpie instinctively, as he's falling and seeing the ground approach rapidly, pull for his chute. But since you've got a hold of him, the physics of how the chute opens is not great, and he's not angled very well. So when he pulls that chute, it doesn't open properly.
I was hoping you were going to say the flap opened and like mess kit and everything like that and stream it out.
Like fucking Looney Tunes all of a sudden, like his can of beans and wrong pack. No, when he pulls that, it pops, but it doesn't deploy. So now,
right. I'm impeding it coming out.
Yes. The way that you two are falling is not, it's not going well. Schroeder, how about a parachute roll?
I mean, I would want to verify that they're not going to fly into me. I want to glance back before I pull. I don't just want to pull.
That's part of the roll, man.
Is it? Is that what that is?
Okay. I mean, it's a skill roll, so it's a question of how skilled you are.
It's a 47 out of 60.
Okay. you have no issues deploying your parachute. You are descending to the ground. It's coming up quick. This is probably getting pretty close to a Halo jump. But I mean, you're base jumpers. That's what you do. So you're doing fine there.
Yeah. But my nickname is Fiverr for a reason. Less than 5 seconds to the ground.
Jeff, what do you want to do?
Remember me saying that I had the handcuffs?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm hooking onto Lucas, and I'm letting go of the button, and I'll pull my cord.
Dex okay. roll.
There you go. Fucking hero.
How many of those things can you actually do?
I know. A dex roll, right?
Yeah.
Not that many. That's a bad roll.
That's a 92 out of 65.
Yikes!
Okay.
I'm looking up. As soon as I pull, I'm looking to see what's going on. I want to see what happens.
Well, so...
You see 2.5 bodies go streaking past you.
It's not so much look up as look out and then look down.
I just want to see if the thing dies.
Okay. So in the midst of this chaos, Fiverr has pulled his chute. You see two individuals who appear to be handcuffed together plummet past you at a high rate of speed.
Oh, you guys, you fucked it so hard. It's so good.
Roll sand, Schroeder.
What am I at? 69. That's not too bad. 58 out of 69.
I think this is easily applicable. 2 points of sand. Apparently seeing two of your better friends like so suddenly become spaghetti on the streets of Chicago doesn't bother you that much. And
you didn't know us that well.
I expected one of us to die at this point, probably.
No, the sequence of events is beautiful. I love it. Especially, Jeff, that's two scenarios in a row I've ran where you've rolled like 90s and 100s right at the last moment, and I love it.
Yeah, I know.
So, to kind of end it, he smashes into the parking garage, Smitty's dead. Whatever. There are a lot of questions, and you're pretty much identified immediately. I mean, you are preceded by a helicopter exploding. So cops, fire department, they're all going to be there. So you get taken in for questioning. There's a lot of questions about why two grown men jumped out of a helicopter with only one of them deploying their parachute while being handcuffed together.
In a suicide vest.
In a suicide vest. That'll be fun to explain.
But made of batteries.
But the thing that really bothers you, the thing that really, really bothers you, that headache has not gone away.
Moving to New Orleans if I get out of jail. Below sea level.
And I think that's where we will call Die High. That was fun.
Stuff. That was a fun ending, at least.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario.
Yeah.
I feel like this scenario was made for Delta Green and not so much Call of Cthulhu. Like it seems like they're without access to certain, I don't know, maybe items or useful things that you wouldn't get as much info. Yeah, I feel like we weren't getting as much info maybe as we could have.
I think
unless we were like an agent.
I think the biggest thing is that you were looking for an answer, and
there's not an answer.
Well, not necessarily that. There were things that you are... The hardest part that I find about this scenario, which is why I haven't run it before. Don't get me wrong. I should give credit to the author because I do really like his stuff and I do really like his scenarios. But he even admits in the writing of this scenario that it's kind of a difficult one to run, which is why it's been on the shelf for a little while. Greg Stolze is who wrote this. So this is the same one who did the virus one that we did. He's the one who ran that game at Gen Con for us, Lucas. He does science-y ones, and I like them because he approaches them in a very logical, science-y way. But the hard part is that you could approach this scenario in a couple different ways, and it's kind of hard as a one-shot. So you see somebody die at altitude, or you hear stories of somebody die at altitude. Why do you care? So the scenario starts with two options. Either the players see the monster, or they don't. So it's either a news story you investigate or you see it. I kind of wanted to try and invest your characters from the very beginning. So I kind of did this whole base jumping thing, this whole camaraderie brotherhood of jumping off of a building kind of stuff.
The opening to this game was really good.
Well, thank you. I wrote it more or less entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was perfect.
I think our biggest issue was really, and maybe it's just because that's the way it's written, was really finding a thread to get us to the monster.
No, I just think we took too long. I don't think we had any necessarily bad approaches. We just didn't like follow the right thread to begin with. Right. And then we found it.
Jumping on top of a roof one more time seemed to help, and it did take us a while to make that decision.
No.
Go ahead with your explanation. I want to hear this.
No, it's I can't find the quote, but he kind of talks about how you get characters to buy into this scenario. Like, there's a whole thing that it's exactly why don't the characters move below sea level? How do you keep them invested? How do you keep them going? There are two kind of semi-major threads that you didn't follow. Only one of them he sees as critical, because he actually does a whole map, and it's amazing. Here, I'll actually print screen this page and send it to you guys too, since we're talking about it. Because he's very, very good about, I'll post it in the chat. He's very, very good about explaining how his scenario should be run logistically. So I sent it there. There's kind of the.
Oh, a flow chart?
Yeah, the flow chart of where you go. The one big thing that you never did is you never investigated your buddy's body.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought of that.
No, we didn't.
What would we have found there?
It's trying to have babies.
Oh.
And it's successful.
Weird.
Gotcha. That's very different.
Yeah. So I know that especially, obviously Jeff and Lucas run things, but it is kind of unusual in a scenario to like actually see a flowchart, but he is very organized in how he does things.
Yeah, I mean, investigating the body never occurred to me.
When I run games, I try and write myself a flowchart of where you guys need to end up, especially when I'm doing an investigation game. There has to be some kind of a chart telling me where I need you guys to go to get from point A to point B.
I actually think we discussed, based on that flowchart, the body itself, and didn't think we'd have access to it.
Yeah, it was discussed. And if you go back and listen to the audio, you'll probably hear where I did push to it, because I think you learn a lot at that point. There's also a couple of really cool, scary moments you can do.
Alien-esque?
Yeah, kind of. It also, the one tip that you didn't learn until the very end, which I loved going right into the helicopter, and the first thing I thought about was in the helicopter was about how the glass was under the feet controls.
We didn't know that until then.
you never had an opportunity to learn how that it phases through solid matter. There's a cool scenario.
Except for me.
There's a cool scenario where he talks about like you're like in the morgue at night, and one of the possibilities he talks about is that you hear it rattle inside as it transfers from one to the other. So you open the door and it's just your buddy's body, because the thing is phased into the other one and is going to phase through the door and attack the shit out of you. But yeah, he gets really heavy into science. If you've not read his scenarios, his scenarios are a lot of fun. He actually talks about what actually is going on and how this thing got here and what it is. And you can actually, like, his scenarios are super fun to read. Like the virus one that I can't seem to remember the name of off the top of my head.
Sick Again?
Sick Again. Sick Again is like 110 pages long or something like that. Like, it's massive. It's got all kinds of backstory that's fun to add these little tidbits in. And he's got the same thing here as well. You can actually talk to Chicago has its own version of what do you call it? CERN.
Oh.
The collider? The
particle accelerator?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about activating electrons.
Yeah. And that so exists.
Yeah.
That is what sort of summoned this thing to this plane of existence.
Interesting.
So
I guess the question like is how do you actually defeat this thing?
You can't.
Well,
not easily.
Like Grady's, fair. Grady's never one to reveal that.
I mean,
especially to people who want to listen to the game. that's not a thing.
When we're talking about, I mean, I'm less likely to. The real reason why I started that is because literally, the first time I got asked that was a Delta Green scenario that I heard rumors was going to be applied later, so I didn't want to give up something that we might play again later. This is from the Unspeakable Oath, issue 22 from January 2013. It's a one-shot. I don't think that this thing will come back at any point. Essentially, it is a like a multi-dimensional being that needs to be at elevation. It lives at height. It's trying to phase into you and impregnate you, essentially. Very much alien style. The only real way to kill it, because you can't affect it. It's not exactly on our plane of existence. That's why physical attacks and stuff don't work. But when it feeds on you, there's a moment in time where when it feeds on you, it can't let go. And we never quite got to that point. It needs to be feeding on you for three rounds.
The thing I was looking
for. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Once it latches onto you for three rounds, you're both screwed, essentially.
Interesting.
It can still remove itself up to the second turn. So if you go back and listen to the combats, we got to two turns, and then an action was taken that, in my mind, coerced it. It's not a particularly intelligent type creature. It's very animalistic. So that was the thing. Schroeder shooting it, the phone being thrown through it. I'm assuming that as an animal, treating it like a predatory animal, you spooked it or you pissed it off. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I was worried about. Just getting it to come in and hitting it with something is just going to get it to run again. We have to figure out a way to latch onto it and hold it there.
Yeah. Which the thing is just let it basically feed on you for a while and then jump below like 300 feet.
Oh. Okay.
The farther it goes down, the less likely it likes to be that way. But there's no real way for you to figure that out without just trying it.
Okay.
I'd have to look through the scenario again. Obviously, I've been reading it in bits and pieces since I expected to play it in one night like 2 months ago.
Right.
But yeah, there's not really he's got a couple of different ideas. Being a martyr is obviously one of it.
I would have just dropped out of the helicopter by myself without trying to involve the other guys, I could have had a chance to stop it myself, even though I would have died.
It would have let go. It has a couple rounds to let go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were along the right path. He has a big chapter at the end that says science will save us, and he's like, it doesn't really matter what they come up with, just assume that it works. So
we were actually on a third round, so if Jeff hadn't fucked his rolls and you hadn't fucked your parachute, then
no, but you shot it.
Yeah, he but it hadn't let go. We were in the third round. It hadn't let go, Lucas.
That's true.
It was, I mean, we were in kind of a weird position.
At least Grady had played it.
Because with you shooting it, in my mind, once it got in the back seat, it was drawn towards you, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
It didn't have time when Lucas was latched. I'm not going to allow it to act outside of initiative. That seems unfair for me to give it that much power, especially since it's an incorporeal being you can't actually hurt. So it attacks Lucas. You shoot it. Lucas ends up in the back seat. It lets go and turns and swipes at you. Does that make sense? You all piled out of the helicopter at that point, so where it's at and what's going on is kind of no longer important, if that makes sense. Because at this point, it's whether or not you survive the helicopter crash. In my mind, is running the game. So anyway, anything else that you all want to talk about since we're kind of doing a recap of it?
No, it was fun. I enjoyed it. As much as we all at certain points felt stymied, it was definitely a very enjoyable scenario. I really liked it.
See, I really enjoy the scenarios where I feel completely stymied, because that's when I get like, well, fuck it.
Well, not just that, it forces you to think outside the box, which a lot of times the games that we end up running In certain circumstances, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And the That's more fair. That it does it, the more fun the game is. Because you have to think about the game more. Like, mm-hmm. I would 100% rather run a game like this than something I could walk through.
For sure.
That's 100%. Fair. Yeah. And I just enjoy the science aspect of it. I have just a weird mind. Mm-hmm. You just go back and listen to the 5 episodes of this. I like to poke holes in oddly specific things. So,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
But yeah, it's an interesting scenario. I remember reading it and going, this is kind of fun. I will throw this out there. If you're a fan of this Cthulhu type horror, I had never really picked up The Unspeakable Oath. It's one of the things that I always looked at Gen Con, but never actually picked up. This is by the same folks who put out Delta Green. Not necessarily a Delta Green product, but just one of the things that they offer. And it's just like a magazine format, old school RPG, 60 pages, $10 an issue, something like that. And it's got articles and like monsters and other ideas in it. I actually happened to get this as part of like a bundle that I bought. And so I got 3 or 4 issues, and I actually am really, really impressed with the writing and quality of them. So I recommend them if you're looking to pick up some scenarios on the cheap, because I don't even think this is the only scenario in this issue. No, there are 2 in here. A lot of times
I'll look forward to eventually playing the other one.
I've not read it. It looks fun. The title looks fun. I wonder who wrote it. Sometimes they'll put in shotgun scenarios. And shotgun scenarios, if you're a beginning player or you just want a break from your regular gaming, I think shotgun scenarios are the greatest things ever created for Delta Green. Anything else for the audience? Anything else anybody wants to go over? Again, Greg Stolze is one of my favorite DG writers. I like all of them, but
I think I've done 2 scenarios that he ran so far at Gen Con. And him as a GM is also just a lot of fun.
He lulls you to sleep. He's very lackadaisical right up until the point where he's not.
And ruins your life.
Well, it was just one of those things where like, oh, I want to do this or oh, I want to do this. And he's just like, and his scenarios are written that way. It's like, okay, go ahead. Okay, you do that. Okay, do that. And then when it's time to take charge, he just kind of slaps you down to the point where he pivoted on somebody in the game, Lucas and Troy and I played with him, and he's like, they're coming through the door. It's happening now. What are you going to do? 5, 4, 3, they're almost here, 2. And all of a sudden, like that was the thing, is having someone who's very calm and placid suddenly do that just like shook us all. Even though it was one character's decision, it kind of just rocked us in that moment.
I don't think we had done a DG on the show by then. I think we had just done a Call of Cthulhu and then jumped straight into D&D Horde of the Dragon Queen. So that was my first experience playing DG with a GM who had written the damn thing. Like it was kind of a stressful day. This is also one of the reasons why I am so going to miss Gen Con this year since it's been canceled, which is completely understandable. But like not being able to sit down with one of the creators running one of their own little short scenarios.
Well, I'll put it out there.
It's always something I look forward to.
I've seen it on Twitter. They are definitely still doing things. Like you can still get swag from Delta Green to run online Delta Green games.
Yeah, there's a lot of those booths are still doing online tables. So and they're still asking for even GMs if you want to run something, if I'm not mistaken.
That'll about wrap it up. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll come back with something next week.